917-900-1022 and enter the access code 32347 followed by the pound sign. Enter the pound sign again when asked for the PIN. This is not a toll-free number. You may be subject to long-distance charges according to your long-distance plan. For public comment, when the chairperson of this committee for public comment, please follow the below instructions. If you wish to speak, please dial star 5. The moderator will unmute your line when it is your turn to speak and notify you by announcing the last four digits of the telephone number. At that time, please announce your name and address. You will be allowed to speak for 3 minutes. Moving on to item number 3, approval of the agenda, of the amended agenda. We're going to have a couple of things to add. One is 14A, Pam Wessels, President, Seymour Chamber of Commerce, to appear to discuss County Ordinance Number 2020-02 with regards to festivals. We're going to add 12A, Board to consider federal railroad administration grant adjustments to re-deck 3 bridge structures. And this was requested by Heather Poole. Are there any other changes to today's agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve the amended agenda?
I move.
I second.
Okay, we've got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids and public hearings. Number 4, the board to receive requestful proposals, RFPs, from firms to provide the following services for grant-funded projects in the 2021 through 2023 fiscal funding years. SHIP program administration, Management and Project Delivery Services, set for this day at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
I've received two bids, one from GSG Government Services Group in Tallahassee, and the other is Guardian CRM Inc. out of Dade City, Florida.
The review committee on this will be myself, Melody Cox, and Jamie Evans. Thank you.
List of fees here. So the total of all their fees is $39,000. That is GSG.
That's what we have now for GSG.
For the step, yes.
It's going to have a list of fees that are done total. So, affordable housing, financial proposals, $25,000. USD water waste grant, $25,000. SRF water and waste loan, $15,000. EDA infrastructure grant application, $25,000. EPA grant application, $15,000. Economic development transportation grant, $10,000. Rural infrastructure grant, $10,000. SCT acquisition application, $25,000. Burbank application, $10,000. Legislative water project, $7,000. FEMA grants, $5,000.
I believe the RFP was for program administration, management, and project delivery services for the SHIP program. So that would be the affordable housing, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
$25,000.
And the first one was $35,000?
The first one was $35,000
under okay. Table. Okay, so this was voted before the bid committee, and then it will be brought back to us presumably in the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Number five, the board to receive RFPs for countywide emergency medical services set for this date at 9:05 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
I'll offer two bids on this. two proposals. The first one was lifeguard ambulance services from Florida, from Milton, Florida. The second was Century Ambulance Service from Jacksonville, Florida. So the first one I'm hoping is lifeguard ambulance services.
Well, exactly, yeah. I just want to reiterate that everybody was given the same information, the same report, the same thing that we were looking for in the service.
And then we held a mandatory 3-day conference virtually. So they can be for this would be myself, Marty Tompkins, and Dan Castle.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I go back to the previous item?
Yes.
Which was for RFP? And yet it appeared to me that we were taking bids. I thought RFP, the folks presented what they wanted us to read, and then we evaluated, and we took the first one. If we can't negotiate a thing with them, we go to the second.
We can. They're actually, they're really not supposed to tell us what their bid is. It's not a bid, it's a request for proposals. So what the bid committee can do is decide which one has the best credentials and so forth, and then recommend to the Board of County Commissioners your determination of which is the best proposal. And then we can negotiate with them. I don't think it's that we need to throw all these out, start all over again, because these are things that needs to be done. But when we advertise, maybe we need to start telling people that they don't need to give us fees on requests for proposals. I was sitting here thinking about it, and I was going to mention it to Lawanda, but good for you.
Thank you.
And I did too, when he's trying to open the bid, I'm like, okay, and what am I missing here? But thank you.
All right, so the proposal was from Lifeguard Ambulance Services. the, you want some proposals on these?
No, let's let the bid committee take a look at them, because they're requests for proposals. Making their, recommendation, I'm not sure did, also the other one, when we do request for proposals.
And there will be, the tabulation, there's a, the tabulation form that we'll use, it's not based solely on price.
Right.
So it's a combination of factors that would determine the recommendation by the bid committee.
Okay, so you'll bring that back next time also?
If not next time, then the meeting after that.
Okay. So we're looking at an extra $25,000 a month. For this service. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number six. The board to hold a public hearing set for this date at 9:10 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to receive public input regarding the possible use of county-owned property located in Key Beach, Florida as a location for commercial crabbers to load and unload traps. This issue was brought up at the last meeting by Commissioner Moody. We decided to have a public hearing on it. So I think we sent letters out. I asked staff to put together letters last week to send to property owners in that area. And I know some of the locals have received the letters, and I'm not sure about the ones that moved out of town, but we'll just see. I'm going to open up the public meeting at this time. And so if you, do we have any calls?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then what's the?
The first number is 8606.
Caller 8606. If you would like to speak, you can speak now. Caller 8606.
The next number is 2811.
Caller 2811. You may speak at this time.
Yes, my name is Tom Davis. I live at 2607 Road, down here on that property for about the last 40 years. I have concerns regarding the crabber offloading site because of traffic, smell, litter. Would like more information about what's going on. I've heard this only involves 20 traps and don't understand why that has to be moved from the public road down to a residential area.
Thank you, sir.
Number 7786.
Caller 7786. You may speak now. Caller 7786.
Caller 3164.
Say again.
3164.
Caller 3164. You may speak now.
Hi, Heather Pullen from Lincoln Consulting. I have agenda items later, but I do not request to speak on this issue.
Okay, thank you.
Caller 3387.
Caller 3387. You may speak now.
This is Fred T. Patty. Home address is 1156 Chip Mile Hill Road. The beach house is 2016 Marina Road at the beach. And I'd like to say that Steve's 500, our house is 500 feet of the property being discussed. We received a letter from the Board of County Commissioners. I'm concerned about the smell and the cleanup. The small area that they're using and the traffic crossing the bridge and the liability of the county property. And my family and we are opposed to it. And if you need to call me, the phone number is 584-3387, cell phone 838-5667. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, sir.
0307.
Caller 0307, you may speak now.
Yes, hello, my name is Robert Sperling. I'm the property owner at 20465 Marina Road. The property is within the 500 feet area. I did receive a letter. Obviously, just like the other callers, I'm concerned about the smell associated with it. I'm concerned about the traffic. I would like some more information. Would there be any storage of crab traps in the area, or is it strictly loading and unloading with no traps left for storage in the area? At this time, without any given additional information, I am opposed to this project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it. I'm going to go back to the first one, caller 8606. And caller 7786. Okay, if we have no further calls.
You do, Ms. Hingham. 7177.
Caller 7177, you may speak now.
Hi, my name is Robin Faulkner. The address is 20470 Leon Road. And I think he was going to say the same thing that everyone else has said. I'm opposed to it. There's multiple reasons why. There's possibility of blocking the canal. The smell will be more than likely unavoidable. And parking on the side of the road, that is part of the conversation that my husband had with the administrator in your county office. It sounds like it's going to be a problem just from that brief conversation. If someone's already complained about it, obviously it's bothering someone already. And I can only imagine the wording that's in this proposal. It doesn't narrow it to that single commercial person that has been using it. It's opening it up to commit to multiple commercial crabbers. So I have a feeling that it may not be a problem now, but it sounds like it's going to open up a box for Pandora's box where we can't close it again. I'm in 500 feet. I received a letter. I just don't think that this will be good for our property value and also our enjoyment. We go down there to have a little peace, and it's just not sounding like it's going to be good for our community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 2011.
Caller 2011, you may speak now.
Thank you. I'm Pat Coker, my husband, Elmer Coker, and I have owned our property at 20630 Marina Road for the past 30 years. We've enjoyed living down here for the past 20. We're concerned about the safety problem that may happen because of the traffic being on the bridge or around the bridge. It may inhibit traffic. Right now, a vehicle pulling a boat trailer, you cannot pass. There's just one at a time to come over the bridge, and I foresee a safety problem there. We don't know the process that the crabbers intend to use. Don't understand how they're going to load and unload the boats from the top of the lot down into the canal. We'd like to know more about that. Another concern we have is the canal is so very, very low at low tide. Don't understand how the larger boats could even navigate this canal. Right now, we'd like to request no votes on this, and I appreciate your efforts. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Caller 3171.
Caller 3171, you may speak now.
Yes, my name is Edward Baller. My family owns a place at 20470 Pont Leon. Some of the concerns that I have is this notice was meant for people within 500 feet of that really just the right way on the side of the bridge. Which is going to affect everybody on the back suit now. So I feel like the notice should have gone out to more people. I don't get to using the public land for commercial gain. And I understand it was one crabber that brought this up. But if we open it up for crabbing off that piece of property, there are other crabbers that own property there only now, that are already running a commercial business. I don't want to tell somebody what they do with their private land, but what's the point of them holding that property if the county can provide a place for them to run their business off of? So it's just going to open it up to more and more crabbers on that little small stretch of canal right there, which is already very narrow. Parking on the side of the road, it was said that they were going to park on the side of the road to offload their trash. Well, the Board of Commissioners already said we can't park on the side of the road out there, so that's out of place. Also, you know, adding that little piece of property right there for commercial business is going to lower your property value. Because of the eyesore and the smell, and really, most of those places are little weekend getaways, and nobody wants to go down there and see that kind of thing. So, lower property value is going to be less revenue for the county. Let's just assume because it's going to happen, we'll have multiple crabbers working off that same piece of property. One of their employees fall down and get hurt out there. The only way I see it is the county is liable for that. How is that going to be insured? Is each individual crabber going to have to carry insurance on that piece of property, or how would that work? All in all, it just doesn't seem like a well thought out good plan. Thank you for hearing what I have to say, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
9490.
Say again.
9490. 9490.
Hello?
Yes. Are you 9490?
Yes, there I am.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Francis Koshevich. We own a home there at 20669 Marina Road. We're within that 500 foot mark. I agree with the gentleman who just said it's going to affect everybody, not just us that are on Marina Road. And, you know, when you have traffic on that road, on that bridge, you do have to pull off to the side to let some of these other vehicles pass through, especially if you're towing a boat. It's not safe for people coming back and forth with commercial traffic. You do have a lot of liability and insurance points you need to take care of. My husband and I used to be commercial tractors down in Keys, and I understand what traps smell like, look like, what it takes to handle. If you've got one guy who's going to be loading and unloading, he's going to leave his truck, and his truck's going to smell. How is he going to get back and forth? There's no dockage down there now for them to pull their boat up to, and that's going to cause a concern at the bridge and in the canal. Again, the draft in that canal is very shallow. We've got a little 13-foot whaler that we used to try and fish, bait fish up in there, and you have to watch out for the oyster shell. It's just not a very good place for stuff. You're opening up public property for commercial use. You're opening this Pandora's box. If it's for this one gentleman, there's going to be others that want to use it. And, you know, we all pay taxes to keep that area in a residential mode. You know, it's just not conducive to being a commercial, and it's not conducive for our property values or for our enjoyment. I think that it's just not the right place for something like that. If it's commercial endeavor. They need to make their own arrangements in a commercial environment and in a commercially zoned property. I am totally opposed to this, and I appreciate your consideration on this, and I align myself with most of these other homeowners that have called in and voiced their concerns as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
5451.
Caller 5451, you may speak now.
Yes, my name is Becky Minnick. My husband John and I own property on Marine Road at 20694. We are within 500 feet of the proposed site, and we want to go on record and saying we are very much opposed to that use of the county property. We think it would just be unsightly on the road for the truck and trailers that would be parked there. There's the odor to contend with. It's just unsightly for anybody coming by. Traffic congestion would be a problem. We also think it would devalue our property. And a lot of people on the back canal, which we're on the back canal, goes under the bridge there to get out into the main canal to go out to fish. And it's going to be congested there. We're concerned about being able to get in and out. But we do agree with the other property owners. We are very much against this use of county property. We believe there would be a liability for the county, and I'm not sure the county would want to get into that kind of situation. But we do want it noted that we do not agree with this use of the property. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
6601.
Caller 6601, you may speak now.
Hi, my name is Anna Wood. We own property down Marine Road as well. Just wanted to call in, and it sounds like there's a lot of speculation about how much usage there's actually going to be of this property for loading and unloading the trash. You know, this happened in one time thing, and I think I know everybody thinks it's going to open up Pandora's box. So there are very few crabbers down there that don't own their own property. And we're only talking 1 or 2 days a year. I think this has just gotten blown way out of proportion by a lot of the other property owners down there. You're talking 2 or 3 days a year, not year round. You know, and there, I don't think anybody has any intentions of storing anything there. I just wanted to make those couple of points. It is interesting to see what all of our neighbors think about us. They want to put our trash up on our property. And it's funny, all of those that, you know, anyway. I think that's about all I have to say. But thank you, commissioners, for letting us speak on this matter.
Okay, thank you.
0253.
Caller 0253. You may speak now.
Yes, hi, my name is Lauren Cates. My address is 2573 Ellismore Drive. My concerns are the crab pot snails bring in flies and ants, also large, like raccoons, cats, stuff like that. My main concern is the parking. We already have a hard time getting into that little small road, Ellismore Drive, right across the bridge. And then I also have a concern about the crabs when the odor starts, they accumulate ammonia. And ammonia sends off an poison. And you can inhale that poison and get toxic waste in your body. So our environment is being impacted by all this smell, odor, and toxic waste. So I, at this time, without other information, I oppose. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay, at this time, we don't have any more callers, just let me know if we have any more coming up on doing this. Okay, in addition to the 10 people that have called in, we also have some emails that we received. And one that I received was from Greg Collins. He says, "Dear Chairwoman Siegel and County Commissioners, we live next to the bridge, 20514 Marina Road, which is the subject of Tuesday's commission meeting. I'm not a very good speaker, public speaker, and would appreciate someone reading my statement. Thank you, Greg Collins." And his statement says, "My wife and I have been residents of Keaton Beach for approximately 13 years. Keaton was a vibrant little community for a few years after our revival until the economy took a downswing. Housing prices and values plunged, including the value of our house, and then things really seemed to die at Keaton when the Marina closed. However, over the last several years, homes are being bought and other homes are being fixed up and or remodeled, and our home values are slowly coming back. The proposal to allow crabbers to use county property to load and unload traps, load crab bait, offload each day's catch, and start all over again the next day would have a major impact on our home values, plus create safety issues. So from a safety standpoint, this request should be disapproved. The bridge over the canal is narrow, which sometimes will not allow two boat trailers or RVs or vehicles pulling equipment, utility trailers to cross at the same time. Traffic moves fast down Marina Road, with the most people exceeding the posted speed limit. Majority of speeders are visitors. In addition, trees block view of oncoming traffic in both directions. It's just not safe. We have always taken great pride in the appearance of our home and yard, including the county property. Several years ago, we approached the county about purchasing the county property adjacent to us, but were told why incur additional taxes when nothing can be done with the property by the county because of size and location. Since we moved to Keaton, we have maintained the county property by keeping it mowed, fertilized, and weeds cut all the way to the bridge. If we, mostly my wife, had not taken care, it would look like the property across the bridge on the east side. Allowing crabbing operations across the street from us would literally be a slap in the face. There is public access at the boat ramp available to crabbers to use without moving their operation into a residential community. Voting no on this proposal is the only right thing to do. Sincerely, Greg and Cindy Collins." In addition to that, this is what was sent in to our county administrator, LaWanda Pemberton. And this is from Laura Giddings. It says, "Laura Giddings telephoned and will be unable to participate in call tomorrow. She has requested that I convey to the board that she is not in favor of allowing crabbers to load, unload traps on the county property in question in Keaton Beach." And that was from Laura Giddings. Here's one from Amos Wynn. "Dear Mrs. Pemberton, I will not be able to join in the conversation when the hearing is held concerning the use of county property on Marina Drive by a commercial venture. My wife and I are definitely opposed to any commercial activity in our neighborhood at Keaton Beach. We think it would be a grave mistake for our Board of County Commissioners to allow the use of county property owned by anyone for private use. If it is allowed one time, how could the county commission not allow it the next time someone wanted to use county-owned property? Where would it end? We respectfully ask the Board of County Commissioners to deny the request to use county-owned property on Marina Drive." And then I have several copies of an email that was sent from Mr. and Ms. Coker. She's did call in, and basically she stated the same exact thing that's in the email, that they are opposed. So I just wanted to add my own comments. And I have to say that there is no way that I could endorse us doing something like this to allow commercial travelers in a nice residential neighborhood. There's nice homes. These people take good care of their homes and property. And then there's safety issues and then other questions that I thought about was, would it be open to all travelers? And then if it's open to all travelers, then would they be allowed to leave their traps there and their stuff there? And would it be, then would any citizen be able to use it? Anybody that wanted to set up and sell their products there or conduct any kind of business? And then who would be responsible for ascertaining the cleanup after each use? If the area is left in an unsatisfactory condition, how would we know who did it and what would we do about it? Would the county be left to clean it up? Would we have to take our staff and do that and use taxpayer dollars to clean it up? And if it could be determined who left the mess, then what punitive steps, if any, could be taken? So, you know, this is just some of the questions that I have, but I also agree with most of these people that called in. This is not something that we should be doing. We have another caller?
Yes, 9274.
92?
Yes, ma'am.
Caller 9?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Jim Williams, on property, at, over on, the main road over there, 20460 King Beach Drive. My number one question about this is, I know everybody's got to make a living, but my main question is, who is going to be overseeing this, making sure that they do what they're supposed to do? I just want to know who's going to be policing this.
Well, so I can't answer that question right now because we haven't got that far, but I'm assuming that it would probably, in all likelihood, fall in the hands of the county to spend taxpayer dollars to do that. But again, we just haven't got that far into this process.
Well, the reason I've asked that question is I was just curious to know if the same people are going to be policing this, the same people that are policing the canal, that there's never nothing done about the no way law, which is the county ordinance on every sign down through that canal. I mean, you know, if the same people going to be policing this and that, if so, then I'm totally against it.
Okay, do you have any other comments?
I do.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm on property there for 18 years. Remember back in Keaton Beach, the research that I've done, that was built years ago by an individual family at Keaton Beach subdivision. And over the years, it has become more than a subdivision. The county bought property at the end of the road, put in a public boat ramp, which is a disaster. Basically helps put the marina out of business. But, you know, there's just a lot of things going on that somebody needs to take a broad look. It's just like in the Taco Times here, a year or so ago, how the county was looking around, they were fishing to buy 3 or 4 more parcels of land to put in public boat ramps. Where are they?
Are you asking that question or are you just making that as a comment?
I'm asking that question. Where is the public boat ramps that the county commissioners have voted on buying property, putting in new public boat ramps to take some of the pressure off of Keaton Beach?
We have
never been done.
Right. We have not ever picked any properties to be purchased.
Okay. Well, and I understand, you know, we go back to the canal that we've gone big dredge for the last 15 years. We got VC money, supposedly, was in the paper. Dredge canal that was going to be started 2 years ago. Why hasn't that been done? There's just a lot of things I'm concerned about as a property owner because, you know, I pay some high taxes down there. hoping one day I can retire down there. But the problem is nobody is enforcing anything, and that's the reason I was asking who is going to police and enforce what the driver is supposed to be doing, what the driver is supposed to be doing. Hey, I love driving. Like I said, I know everybody has got a job to do. But my question is, who is going to police it?
Okay, do you have any further comments?
I really do, but I'll let somebody else speak.
Okay, we appreciate you calling in, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
2286.
Caller 2286, you may speak now.
Yes, my name is Jeff Albertson. I live down Debbie Morgan Road. And I want to speak about this because, for one, every business that I've ever owned, I was never given help by a county in order for me to profit. I don't see where it's right where the county taxpayers should have to be on the hook for a piece of property for a commercial business to make money and profit, when it's the taxpayer's footing the bill for the piece of property. On another note, who's going to say that they're going to follow the rules that's put in place on this? Because we have a crabber in my neighborhood right now who's using residential land to store all his commercial trash, which is not allowed. And we can't get anybody to do anything about it. His employees are racing and running up and down the road, tearing up the sides of the road, doing donuts in the road every day. The cops have been called multiple times. And I just don't think it's a good idea. I think that if, the county's going to be spending money frivolously like this, I think they should, worry about more on, paving roads like Jody Morgan Road. I got a brand new pickup truck that I have thousands of dollars worth of damage because we can't get the county to come out here and do regular maintenance on the roads. I've had to call the county 4 times to come do maintenance on the roads out here and grade the roads because we have potholes that would rip an axle out of a regular car. I'm totally against it. I think that the county should worry about spending money on building infrastructure instead of worrying about helping out the local crabber who doesn't want to spend money on his own business. If he wants to make money and have a piece of property, that's fine. He can buy a piece of property, but make sure it's own commercial and it's not up to the taxpayer to put the bill. So I'm totally against it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
That's it.
Okay. There are no other callers at this time. Any discussion from the board?
I might say that's not in my district. I was approached by Alan Bishop to make a request to ask to use that piece of property. What I'm hearing, people keep bitching, don't want it there, but he was a constituent. He actually does his business down in Sean's district, down the beach, but he just asked me to bring this to the board, and we pretty much got answered for it. That's not something that we need to do. But if we're going to have those lots down there, and we're not going to use them for anything, we need to put them on the market to sell them. There's no sense in just sitting there, like the lady said, one of them growing trees and bushes on it, the other one, she keeps it mowed. We could use that money for other things if we could sell those lots. We're not going to let anybody use them. So that's the way I stand on it.
Okay. Before we go any further, are there any other calls?
No, ma'am.
Okay. At this time, then, I'm going to close the public meeting. Any other comments from the commissioners?
After speaking with citizens and landowners that are down there, it's obvious that people are adamantly against this. I've even spoken with some commercial fishermen who are against it. who could petition to use the property as well, but they chose not to. They'd rather go about their own endeavor. So I'm going to side with the people in the majority that are adamantly against this for various reasons. So that's where I stand with it.
Anybody else?
I'd like to say, Madam Chair, it's my turn, that I've listened to the people who called in, the people who sent other correspondence. I think that the Craven operation is just not compatible with the nice houses that are in that neighborhood. And I tend to vote no.
Okay. Anybody else?
Is that handwriting on the wall? I don't see why you want to put a pad that is in a community like that. Not long ago, if I make a mistake, we put up something in a place that you cannot park on the side of the road, such as the activity that they had down there. And it would be ludicrous for us to go back on that and allow it to happen for any one individual or two individuals. And then Pandora box, I did have somebody told me, said, if you like that crab, I want to put a 5-hour piece in. So, it just makes sense to not allow it to happen.
Right. Okay. I had also got a call from Alan Bishop, and I asked him, had he loaded any traps? And he said, yes, he had, because the commissioner had told him to go ahead and unload it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what he told me. So.
What commissioner told him that? Didn't he?
I'm not going to say any more about that. But at any rate, he said he had unloaded some and basically he's just trying to run a business. But I think the consensus of this board is to not allow this, and for all the citizens that called in, we appreciate you calling. This is why we have a public hearing, so that the public, number one, can be informed of what's going to be happening in their community, and number two, you have the chance to express your opinions, and that's important to us, that we hear from the people, we hear from the citizens, let us know how you feel about things. So I appreciate your calls, and I think that there's nothing else to be done with this. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to allow this, right? Do we need a vote? Is there a motion to not allow these crabbers to use county property?
I'll make a motion not to let crabbers use county property.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. Motion carries. Okay, we'll move along to consent items 7 through 11A. Are there any questions about the consent items? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Payne, second by Commissioner Gentz. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. Motion carries. Public request number 12. Kevin Pillman, Grant Administrator, Landscape Associates, Inc., to appear to present quarterly status report for Taylor County Restore Act Program update and planning and design, coastal dredging projects, being to Sinkatchee School Boat Ramp Project. Ms. Pillman, are you there?
She was on the line. She's 3164.
Yes, she's there.
Ms. Pullman?
Morning.
Hi, good morning.
There, Pullman.
Go ahead.
I can see you now. Well, thank you, Chairperson Siegel and Commissioners, for having me today. I'm pleased to report that we've had a lot of activity on the Taylor County Restore Act program. Now that we have hit the ground running, we have cleared all but one partial special award condition. And we are in the midst of the statement of qualifications process, of which opened on September 17th, and we will accept bids on October 30th, which will be opened at the November 2nd Board of County Commissioners meeting for you all. We are excited about the participation on this. We have gotten some questions from potential respondents. And so that's our next major milestone, which again will happen on October 30th and be opened on November 2nd. And once we cross that threshold and select a design contractor, we will go head first into the planning and design of the Keaton Beach Canal and Steen Hatchico Ranch Coastal Dredging Project. Are there any questions from the board for me?
Any questions concerning this? Mr. Page, you got any questions about this number 12?
No.
Okay. Anybody else have questions? I don't believe there are any questions right now.
Well, that wraps up my report. If you would like to go ahead and move on to the next agenda item.
Yes, well, thank you. And that would be 12A. Board to consider federal railroad administration grant adjustment to redeck three structures. You want to talk about that?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you guys so much for letting us amend the agenda at the last moment. Just to give you guys some background on this amendment to the award agreement, as I'm also going to be reporting on quarterly status report. In August of this year, the rail geometry test was conducted on the entire project site for the Seabrook project. And what it turned up was that there was one bridge structure that was originally left out of the original project scope because it was deemed in good condition. However, with the storms that we have had over the last year, and as the project has unfolded and the construction was wrapping up to completion, the rail geometry test determined that there was one bridge structure that needed repair. So we were going to add that bridge structure. As OmniTrack, who is the owner of Florida Georgia Railroad, was doing their assessment, we began to look at the budget of the grant award agreement and realized that we were going to end up leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table. And so they found two other bridge structures, one of which is in Taylor County, the other one is in Clinton, Georgia. And we decided to propose to the Federal Railroad Administration an amendment to this project. So that's where we are. We would like to propose to the FRA to add three additional bridge structures, as well as updating the crossing controller equipment. And so we have been working with the Federal Railroad Administration throughout the entire month of September, and we are all in all in agreement moving forward with this project. One of the urgencies with this particular amendment is the fact that due to the pandemic and due to manufacturing issues that we are all experiencing, this the materials delivery and the ordering of the materials is slated to take 6 to 8 weeks. The actual construction of these bridge structures is anticipated to take 3 to 4 weeks. So we are now looking at an overall construction completion date of about December 31st of this year. We have this award agreement in place until March. It is very important that we don't experience any other delays in the ordering and delivery of these materials so that our contractors can move forward. We will be procuring the contractors. It has been determined that RailWorks, that completed most of the overall track work on this project, needs to be federally procured. So we will be sending it out for a full RFP process, which will also take some time. So we're hoping to complete that procurement process during the ordering of the material so that those two things can be going on at the same time and we don't experience any more delay. So that is speaking to directly to agenda item 12A.
Okay, are there any questions before? Any questions from anyone? Okay, if not, is there a motion to allow this grant adjustment for the three bridge structures?
I'll move. But I thought that was another one in Greenville or something like that, crossing some private property. That wasn't addressed in this one.
Did you hear what he said?
I did. From what I understand, of course, I'm not an engineer. I wish I was, so I could speak to this a little clearer. It is on the line. It straddles the line of Greenville and Terry.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion by Commissioner Dibbs. Is there a second?
A second.
A second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We're going to item 13. Heather Poulin, Grant Administrator, Lansing Associates, Inc., to appear to present quarterly status report for construction engineering and inspection services provided for the Taylor County FRA competitiveness and employment by rail, CEBYR project. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. So in addition to the amendments that you all just approved, just to give you an overall status of the project going on, the tie replacement is at 100% completion of the original project scope, as well as the crossing. The Ballaston Road bed is now complete. At the time of this report, it is 90% complete. Also, the bridge repairs in the original scope are 95% complete, and the rail work is 100% complete. So, as of September 30th, 2020, which was one of our original anticipated construction completion dates, we were actually at 93% completion, and we're on schedule. Again, these additional bridge structures, we don't anticipate will slow us down, and technically we have until March 17th of 2021 to complete this project. As far as drawdowns are concerned, during the past quarter that began on July 1st and ended on September 30th, we drew down approximately $1.1 million on this project. And we also submitted the quarterly performance report and the financial progress report early, which we received praise for. And that is about it. Any questions on the construction status of the project?
Any questions?
May I ask Heather a question?
Sure.
You're familiar with a little village town of Shady Grove, I'm sure. And the railroad crosses the highway. And I went through there the other day and I noticed a stop sign. Are you going to put a cross arm or a caution light in Shady Grove?
Yes, yeah, thank you for asking that question, Commissioner. We are actually discussing that as well. The stop signs are there for preventative reasons. Obviously, the speed of the train in that area is increasing from 10 miles per hour to 25 miles per hour. And so the stop sign has been put there as a minimum. I have been in multiple conversations with Brady Peters from Omnitrack, who is the on-site project manager. And we've also been speaking to the Omnitrack's marketing department as well. And we will begin working with LaWanda as well on this. We would like to put together a public notice, sort of an educational notice to the public regarding these new stop signs that are being put in. We have been informed by Grace, who is the project manager, that this is a minimum required from the federal administration, from the Federal Railroad Administration. So yes, we are aware of the new stop sign. I cannot answer your question today regarding the crossing arm. However, we would be more than happy to follow up with you on that when that decision has been made. But very soon, there will be some educational materials being produced that we would like to get out to the public and to the commission as well.
Okay, thank you. You can share what I've ever thinking with a lot of, because I would be here probably by the time you gather the information. I'm retired.
But you're not a...
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
I think Mr. Dench was asking the same question, and we kind of passed over. North of Greenville is a farm on Truth 7, and they had a crossing.
Right.
And it divides the farm in half, and you can't get from half your farm to the other half because you took out the crossing. And this has been discussed at General Power and the County Commission. But could you give us the status of part of that crossing?
Was that Mr. Cruz's property?
Yeah.
They got that straight now.
They got that straight now.
They got a crossing on it.
Okay.
They got a
question answered.
Okay, Heather, Shank Road is in my district, and I've had quite a few calls concerning that stop sign. They just didn't know where it came from. They thought the county had put it there, and they were just questioning the whole thing. So, however you intend to pass your information along to the public, that would really be... the thing to do, since there are a lot of questions concerning that. How do you expect you're going to reach all the public concerning that?
So we, from what we discussed, we would like to put together some sort of campaign to get the notices out to the public. Now, we would very much like to include the commission and get your ideas on that, and that is definitely something that we would like to present to you to at least open up for discussion on the during the November 2nd Board of County Commissioners meeting. We were hoping to have it done by this meeting. However, the amendment process obviously was the priority for this meeting. So we would like to actually discuss with the commission your ideas and kind of create a campaign so that we can make sure that no one is missed. And of course, I'll be working with Wanda on that project as well. So if you have any questions or if you have any ideas, we would love to hear from you. We would love to take that into consideration. As to how you think it's best to get the notice out to everyone in your specific district.
Okay, do you ever go into those little communities like that? Because we have a very nice community center there. And would it be possible at some point in time to just have a little gathering there so that the residents in that area could ask their questions and give their input also?
Absolutely, Madam Chairperson. That is something that we will definitely consider doing, and we will definitely want to get that done, get that meeting scheduled and done prior to the completion of the overall construction. And we will have Brady Peters there, the project manager, who is a very talented engineer and can speak to any technical questions regarding federal law on stop signs and crossing arms and why we chose to go one way and not another. But yeah, absolutely, that sounds like a wonderful idea that we would love to consider.
We can coordinate that through LaWanda and myself and you and Mr. Peters or whoever else. And so just whenever y'all are ready, let's plan to do that. I appreciate you entertaining the idea to do it anyway.
Absolutely, and we also, we hope to have a groundbreaking of sorts. I know that we're all still dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, but we definitely still want to have a groundbreaking or a ceremonial service at some point. So we are very open to any and all ideas that you all have regarding this campaign. This is something that we all want to celebrate as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. We appreciate all the work that you do for us. We appreciate you giving us an update today.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure and my honor to serve.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, you too.
Thanks. Okay, item number 14, David Drahowski, Government Services Group, GSG, to appear to present draft phase two and phase three of the Taylor County CARES Act funding expenditure plan. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me here. I'd like to refer you to your agenda package. There's a copy of the presentation that we provided to walk through with you this morning as the basis of our project update. Kind of a lot of progress has been made in the last several weeks since the last time I did it personally. If you look on the first slide, I think it's actually slide number two, there's a little chart there. It says application process working with community partners and government partners. Just wanted to give you a brief update on the individual assistance. To date, we have received 150 individual assistance applications. We have approved 38 applications, helping 38 households, totaling $98,184 worth of assistance. Comes out to about $2,583 per household. We are still processing the 112 remaining applications. If the average holds true to where we're currently, total funding needed would be $387,000. Right now, there's $175,200 that's available through the CHIP, not CHIP program, as we like to refer to it, which would require essentially an additional $212,000. In the phase one report, we do have $100,000 that has already been identified for individual assistance, so we can continue using those funds as part of this program since we're using the same program requirements. And then there's an additional $145,000 that's currently available in unmet needs. So if the average is $2,500 or so per household, stays true and all of the applications are approved, we would be coming back to the board to request moving money from those funds to make those individual assistance payments in accordance with the program guidelines and making sure that we can get that assistance out before the deadline, which is December 30th. On the small business front, the deadline ended yesterday. The board originally had extended the deadline from October 5th to the 19th. In my discussion with Mr. Bryson Chamber, who's actually helping us with this, we have received, I think, 49 total applications as of yesterday by the deadline. Just to remind everybody that any and all application received after the deadline will be processed as long as there's funds available. However, right now, based on the number that we have, the phase one had approximately $380,000, or if each application got the maximum award of $10,000, that's only enough to fund $380,000, so there would be a little bit of a shortfall there. However, I think with the approval of the board's agreement to sign the second amendment with the DEM, I think in the time of where it's presented to you today, that there would be funding available to help all the businesses that have applied. So just wanted also at this point to let the board know that the CARES Act Committee has already submitted through, and the board has already approved over $250,000 worth of related expenses to date. So right now, I think we're in a really good spot. The other thing that's come up in the last couple of weeks is that the National Association of Counties held a national conference call with representatives of the U.S. Department of Treasury, and they have their Office of Inspector General personnel on the phone to address an issue that's come up. And that's one of the issues that we want to talk to you about today a little bit, which is the use of the public safety funds as a mechanism to maximize the county's ability to receive all of the grant funding while minimally providing the necessity to fund the CARES Act funding out of current dollars. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Also, we have been advised that the Florida Association of Counties will be holding a conference call tomorrow to actually talk about this issue, and what we understand is that the Florida Association of Counties position is very similar to and consistent with the plan that we have already presented to the county manager in draft format that we'll be talking about here in just a second. If you look at slide three, so it refers to the pending county actions. So one of the things that we need to do to, this week is to finalize out the 25% allocation report to the Florida Division of Emergency Management. In order to be eligible for the phase two funding, which is the 20%, or about $752,000, Hale County has to do three things. One, you have to have the signed amendment in place, which we do. You have to have fully documented the expenses for the initial 25% approval, which we'll have done this week. And then you need to submit a revised plan. And right now we have a plan pending ready for the board approval today, and then once we get the board approval today, we can move on. So one of the things that is a little bit challenging is that the way that DEM has set up the process is that by November 16th, we have to submit the phase one and phase two reporting of expenditures. So based upon the traditional way that we were going to fund the plan, you know, looking at small business and looking at the individual assistance payments, we would not have enough time to do that. So DEM understood the impact on cash flow to the counties, and especially as it relates to the third phase, to be eligible for the third phase of the funding, you have to spend the initial phase one and phase two, which equates to 45% of the total award. Well, DEM and the U.S. Treasury and others have agreed that we can use the expenditure that the county has already paid for in fiscal year 2020 related to your public safety costs. So that would be your fire, your dispatch, your sheriff's office, strictly looking at the salary and fringe benefit expense, and the treasury guidance says for administrative convenience, these individuals may be considered to be substantially dedicated, and 100% of their costs, personnel costs, is eligible under the CARES Act. So our recommendation and what we have designed the plan that we have provided to you in your packet as well, is to do just that. It's to submit the expenses related to the personnel costs so we can maximize the refund and still stay committed to funding the individual assistance programs and the small business programs. And what this will allow you to do is really use last year's money to fund this year's activity without having to dip into reserves or to borrow funds or to seek other alternative sources of funding. So it really provides the ability for the county to be able to maximize the award and minimize the risk. So we are recommending, as you are looking through the presentation and through the report, is to approve the recommendation as we have outlined and we'll continue to outline. So talk a little bit about the information here on the following slide, slide number four, which says it's going to access the funds. So we have already looked at the video here last week and the week before, and we have identified not only the use of the current personnel costs for public safety individuals for this current fiscal year, from October through December, the projected cost, but we've also identified what the actual federal paid for going back from March 1st to September 1st. And in consultation with another client and county that I'm working with, and in consultation with their external auditor, the external auditor also has confirmed and agrees with the process that we are outlining and that kind of, which is the same process that we are looking at doing here in Taylor County. And in consultation with the CARES Act Committee and the representative from the clerk's office, they were also comfortable with the approach that we have been recommending. So if you look on page 5, slide number 5, what this shows is phase 1, which was $940,000, phase 2 is $752,000, and phase 3 is a little bit over, almost $2.1 million. One of the things that we had to do as part of the plan was to take the initial plan from the county and readjust your cost categories to match those that the state is using. So we already completed that process. That will make the review by DEM much easier, and we also believe it will also expedite the approval of your plan. We have been having conversations with the county liaison, and we have already instructed the liaison in terms of our intention of what we're going to do based on the board approval. The liaison is supportive of that approach, and we believe that based on the outcome of today's meeting, we can provide the state with the documentation for the remaining expenses for phase 1, provide them the plan for phase 2, and we believe that we could have potentially the funding for phase 2 in the county's hands by the end of the month for the very first meeting of that. So, and if, by doing that, the county will be receiving their 20% allocation in full of $752,000. So at that point, we will have plenty of funds also at that point in terms of cash to pay for the individual assistance programs as well as to continue funding the small business program. So on slide 6, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about, you know, what are some of the things that we need to do to get to the building block? So we're going to continue approving the payments to the individual assistants and to the business applicants. We're going to finalize the approval. We're going to be recertifying the individual assistants because the way that program works is that you can only pay in arrears, so we can't pay for mortgage assistance or for rental assistance until they're actually late. So that's just one of the nuances that is part of the program requirements, so our team is staying on top of that. Want to make sure that you truly understand the best funding option for the funding of the rest of the plan. We need to start issuing certification and sub-recipient agreements to the partner agencies. So the City of Perry would be a sub-recipient to you, so there's a formal process that we need to go through with that. The constitutional officers who would be reimbursed under this program, we would want to develop a certification. It's similar to like a memo of understanding that outlines here's what the funding is, here's what it's been approved for, and it's also a practice that is outlined in the federal requirements as well as recognized by DEM as a leading practice. And then finally, we want to continue executing against the plan and then position the county for wrapping up this program. On slide 7, I've outlined 4 options for the county. We can provide no additional funding, and we can spend the 20% and the 25% phase 1 and phase 2. And at that point, that leaves about $2 million available that would not be spent, which I don't necessarily even consider that as an option. You could transfer funds from reserves to upfront for any $2 million expenses, but there's really not a reason to do that. Or reallocating resources from the current budget to pay for things, because option 4, to me, really is the only real viable option, which is claim the costs from the public safety expenses from last year, get that cash in, and then use that as a mechanism not only to keep paying for the services that you want to do, but also at that point, the county can truly maximize the full $3.7 million award to get $3.7 million into the community Keller County. Yes, ma'am.
If I may, part of the, if I'm understanding correctly, one of our big challenges is if we don't choose option four, our biggest concern is that we do not have enough time to expend that amount of money before November.
Correct. You have two issues. You have a time restriction of getting all the money for phase one and phase two spent by November 16th, and two, you have a cash flow issue in terms of really how are you going to show that you've expended or are able to expend the money, because all the documentation has to be in, at least as we understand it, by December 3rd.
So, what are we going to do?
Well, I would say that if we claim the expenditures that we've already expended, then that will get us our full 100%. I hate to leave any money on the table. But I also understand that originally we thought we had until the end of December to expend everything.
And that's what we're saying.
And now it seems like these deadlines are
moving up,
and that further ties our hands as far as expending, you know, developing plans and expending these funds. So, to me, the viable option we have is to submit the expenditures for the public safety dollars, and then once we receive the reimbursement from Treasury or Department of Emergency Management, then we can revisit how to allocate those funds.
Okay.
Why are the deadlines being changed in an unfavorable way?
I don't have an answer for that. I think one of the reasons why, it has to do with the state is looking to maximize and making sure that the entire $1.275 billion is spent. So what we understand that may happen, I don't know if this will happen, and this is another reason why we want to use the inflated public safety dollars, so we can show that we fully have funded phase one and phase two and ready to pay for phase three, is because the counties that have not and will not be able to expend all of their funding, that funding may be taken from them and we have to start about the counties. So one of the things that we want to make sure that we do is we position Taylor County as a county that has all the expenses already documented and in the system, so that way if there is a reallocation of dollars from PEM, that Taylor County would be that county or one of those counties that potentially could benefit from an additional unexpected revenue allocation from DEN in late November or early December.
It just seems odd to me that there's this amount of money and it's allocated for businesses and people that really need it, and they want you to spend it, but yet they keep putting in roadblocks to inhibit you from doing that, so it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we have been working diligently with council on other projects and in this project, and working with the representatives and the liaisons with DEM to find what the best way, and the best way to maximize your ability to spend all the money is to claim all of your public safety costs.
Sure.
Because two reasons. One, it's the easiest thing for us to claim because it's already there. Mm-hmm. And it's also something that the state likes because it's the cleanest thing from an eligibility standpoint, because of the way your financial systems and your HR systems are, is that they can clearly identify people by name and by position classification, and for them it's an easier validation process. But what we're wanting to do, and the reason why we say claim your public safety dollars now, but still continue with the individual assistance and the small business assistance in terms of the way that the program requirements require, is that if by spending those the dollars now, if we are given an opportunity for additional funding, those dollars will have been spent, so we'll have the opportunity to claim those expenses at a later date. So when you look at it from a high level standpoint, we're not changing really anything on your plan. I mean, you have a certain amount of dollars and you have certain priorities. Those are still going to be able to be accomplished. What we're doing is we're kind of switching the order of how we're claiming the dollars so that we can get the cash in now.
Yeah, but we've got that covered.
Yep.
And if I may, can you explain to the board the different agencies who would be involved as far as submitting our public safety dollars?
Absolutely. So we would be able to include dollars from the sheriff's office, from dispatch, potentially some dollars from emergency management, which I think here is also part of the sheriff's office. For any positions that are not grant funded, your fire and rescue personnel, and also the city of Perry's fire department and police department. There's also an additional listing of other types of employees that would be eligible, like some of your health officials and things like that. So there's, in the treasury guidance, they have laid out a little bit more broad potential category of people. But just looking at essentially the sheriff's office personnel, the county's fire and rescue personnel, and the city's fire and police department, you have more than enough expenses to basically claim almost the entire amount of the award. But what we want to make sure, though, too, is that everybody who's listening and watching understands that we're still committed to taking those dollars that come in now to the county, comes into your CARES Act fund is really unrestricted revenue, so that way you can spend the money on really anything you want. However, we are recommending that you spend the dollars on the individual assistance program, the business assistance program, and any of the other CARES Act related programs you want to do, like food stability, things like that. But this gives you a couple of other options. One, it allows you really to extend the time period for which you're going to do it, because you've already claimed, you've already received your match reimbursement, so you can actually take some of this and extend this even to beyond December 30th. And then the other thing is, if you would follow some of the other best practices that other agencies are doing, is to take a portion, say 10% of your total award, and put it into a designated contingency for potential clawback in the future. That way, not to say that we think it would happen, but you're kind of getting a large sum of money now. And one of the things we want to make sure is that in case there is a potential, and there's always a potential, take the money, put it into the contingency, and then when the monitoring period has expired, then you have extra money. And if there is a problem or a challenge, then you already have money put aside, basically, to pay it back. And the other thing that we would also recommend is to take some money and put it aside for continual monitoring and compliance, because the way that the program is written is that everything has to be completed by December 30th. But by doing this the way that we're recommending it, you can really use some of these funds beyond the initial deadline. We also think that some of the deadlines may change based on the election, but right now we can't bet on that. We have to proceed with what we know, which is this is what the agreement says, and this is what we think we need to do. So I think with that, I think I covered all of the points, you know, the recommendation was to approve the submission of public safety costs to DEM, and then also put as a form of receipt reimbursement for public safety costs to create definite contingency to offset cognitive agency disallowances, which essentially would be $380,000, which I think is roughly 10% of your total award. Create deputy contingency for 5 years, post award monitoring of $100,000, and then continue executing against the DOCC approved share that fund. So, with that, I think that's all the prepared comments. I'm happy to answer any of your questions or comments or things you have at this point.
Any questions, comments? Okay, I'll take a motion.
Make a motion to
the money, like I said, is here, and we want to help the with the individual assistance in our businesses. So maybe that's the most important aspect of it. I know it's been very frustrating for some people trying to get through the application process. And I'm just thinking of the things that I've heard. I hope that nobody is not behind because they've just given up on the process because it's quite involved and the hiccups along the way. I just hope that people that have, you know, if there is anybody that's given up, that they'll come back and try again. I don't want anybody or any business left out. Because it's of the process.
Absolutely.
Now, once an application is approved, how long is it before the funds are available?
It's just a matter of getting it to the clerk and the form that they want, and a lot making sure that we can align it to the. To the date of when your meetings are. I think you're having, you have two meetings in November and one in December, or you have two meetings in December?
Typically one in December.
One year. So right now, the way with the individual assistance applications, those are kind of ongoing. You've already some of those payments. With the business applications, and I believe that most of the information that we receive, the applications are for the most part also complete. Because as we've been coming in, we have been following up with the applicants saying, please provide us X, Y, or you need additional documents, or you forgot to provide us documentation. But right now, being today's intent, we should have, assuming that we have all the business applications, all the information in the applications, we should have them finished being reviewed by the end of the month. And then I think your board meeting is November
6th?
7th. So potentially we could have some of them on the 7th or all of them on the 7th, or we could stagger them part the first meeting and part the second meeting in November. But I don't see why all of the small business application, any and all that would be approved, they should all have their money by the end of November.
End of November?
End of November, yes.
Probably second meeting, because
yes.
The deadline for invoices is the Monday prior.
Okay.
So it's really in October. So it's probably the second meeting in October.
And we still have to work through with the clerk's office in terms of what exactly, you know, what all documentation. What, in all honesty, what's really been the whole of on most of this in other counties has been making sure that all the required forms are in, especially the 1099, things like that, making sure that all those have the right information, there's businesses and departments that get set up vendors and things like that in your system to account for how the money's being spent. So that will take a little bit of time, but as I said, as we have them approved, we're going to be sending them over, and then we're not going to wait until we have roughly all 50 of them, because we don't want to overwhelm the clerk's office either.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
Let me make a comment. the total amount of money is $1.7 billion, is that what it was?
No, that's for your, for...
For the entire amount of money that was sent out, so to help all counties and businesses?
$1.275 billion.
Okay. I think sometimes it might have been, it was sort of premature because it was still replenished. And the date that was given, that 30th day of December, was the Father's Day, but if they got to looking at it, you know, were you going to wait to that day and have all these numbers you need? Or you start putting in place some parameters that you must have be at a certain place at a certain time in order to be able to have this done in September, in December? I could see that moving date being put and established as they went along. I don't think they fully thought it all out before they made their amount of money amount set. I can see what some of that is being done. Now, and I know it's frustrating to us trying to meet these quotas and these dates by that time. But I appreciate this information because it gives me a little bit better understanding how government works.
Yeah.
Now, I don't say I have it all that I can appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Some of it is possible.
The notification about the December 3rd deadline for phase three, I thought that was a typo, and it was the first question that we had asked the liaison, and it said, no, that's the date it's due, and I'm like, well, how are we supposed to get everything in by the 3rd if we haven't told the 30th to extend it?
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be, it's really an estimation at that point, and then obviously there's a communication, but I think if we go the route that we're talking about, which is using the public safety dollars, mm-hmm. we should have all the expenditures submitted to the state before, we'll have them all submitted before the November 15th deadline. I want to be ahead of the game.
Anybody else? Okay. So we need a motion to approve the phase two and phase three.
Yes. Yes, we're requesting a motion to allow the CARES Act team to submit the revised plan to DEM as drafted, and then to move forward with the submission of the reimbursement as well.
Someone want to make that motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Murphy, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Really appreciate this presentation today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, and we look forward to helping the county get all this in, and hopefully we'll get more money. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
If they reallocate, we'll be certainly one of the first in line.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Moving on to 14A, Pam Wessels, President of New Hampshire the Chamber of Commerce, to appear to discuss County Ordinance Number 2020-02 with regard to festivals. Ms. Wessels, has she called in?
She's 16 and she's
Hold on one second.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You have a 1086?
Yes.
Okay. Caller 1086, Ms. Wessels?
This is me. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners, and thank you for your time to hear our concerns about how your new ordinance could affect not only our festival, but other events in the county. We respectfully request that you consider an amendment to this ordinance. We realize the reason you did this was to avoid the pop-up events that were happening in residential areas because the bars and the clubs were closed due to COVID. But over the past 12 years, the revenue source from the festival to both the County in both sales and bed checks has grown to rival that of the 4th of July week during solid season. We've had most of the things, most of the line items in your ordinance covered from the very first festival, things such as sanitary facilities and water and EMTs on site and things like that. But some of the items in your ordinance are concerning, some of which would be the limit to the number of attendees to 1,000. Our volunteers and vendors for that event would take up half of that number. Your hours of operation are limited from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And both Friday and Saturday nights are entertainment from 3 to 11 p.m. Alcohol is totally prohibited on both private and public properties according to your ordinance. That has been a big source of revenue for us, for the beer and wine sold at the concert only and restricted to private property. The concert is held on the River Haven Marina property, and the alcohol is constrained to that area. And also the number of security guards that you require, based on our last estimate of attendance for the past couple of years, being approximately 10,000 people, that would require 50 deputies, and I don't think Taylor County has 50 deputies. We don't do the festival for the chamber to make money, but to bring folks to town and give the businesses a boost during the time between fall seasons. It also brings in revenue to the county in both sales and bed tax. The chamber has enough out of this festival to see the following year, so it's not like we're doing it to run our house. But we could request, respectfully request, if you would amend the ordinance, and I think it can be done by just saying something as simply as that it pertains to private parties and not to community or chamber or other nonprofit events. Is that possible?
Mr. Bishop, can you answer that?
It's possible.
Yes.
It's possible. To amend the ordinance if y'all so desire.
I just want to say to you that our intentions have not been and are not to inhibit the large public festivals such as the Fiddler Festival that's been going on. That was never our intention. It's not something, and I think I can speak for the whole board,
right.
It's definitely not something that we want to do. So if there's a,
I know,
if there's a way that we can, if there's a way that we can amend it,
oversight, yeah, the simple amendment, I think, would fix the problem. We don't want to break the law.
We want to help you, so,
okay.
And the other question that I've got about this is, you know, she refers to the private gatherings, and the one in particular that I was concerned about, they do advertise. Even though it's done on private property, they do advertise for the public. So how could that be handled, Mr. Bishop?
Well, what we could do is we could just prepare an ordinance saying that don't even mention private parties or business. Just say that our ordinance 2020-02 does not apply to nonprofit groups and also chambers of commerce.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
Just very, very simple amendment to the ordinance. And of course, if you're going to amend the ordinance, you have to do it by an ordinance, which requires y'all instructed me to prepare it. I would prepare it in the notice and run it in the paper. And I think you probably need to do this. If you're going to do it, you need to do it pretty quickly. Tell me to do it pretty quickly, in that these things will be coming up relatively soon. Provided that we don't have the restrictions of the, you know, of the virus, of the COVID.
Okay, Ms. Wessel, did you hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Just a little bit, okay.
Okay, what I want to do then, I think that what's in order is to have a motion authorizing or asking you to prepare an ordinance to amend this ordinance.
Yeah, just an amendment, yeah.
Is there such a motion? Anybody?
No, you also need to note sponsoring of county. So if the county decides to sponsor an event.
Yeah, okay.
You see. Yeah, yeah.
Anybody else? If not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah.
Second by Commissioner Page. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, Ms. Wessel, we're gonna amend this so that y'all are gonna be okay with your Fiddler Festival.
Thank you so much. And I have one other little thing that needs to piggyback on this. The community centers are still closed, and the Steen Hatchie Community Center has been the hub for the Fiddler Festival from the beginning. Our coordinating vendors and volunteers and our big raffle and something inside. Is there any, have you given any more thought to when the community center will open? Because if it's not open by February, we can't have our festival.
It's not, if I may, the community center is not currently closed as far as I know. It's just that attendance is limited to observe social distancing.
Yeah, when it's just a pair of 14, that's not a year enough.
It's 14, I think.
Can you give us an idea of, you know, whether we will be open? Can we start planning the festival, or can we just miss it for this year?
That's a hard question to answer at this point in time. What's going on? I mean, if it's possible, of course you know we will.
Yes, ma'am.
So we want to work with y'all, but we want to try to keep our citizens safe at the same time. So it's just something that we'll be discussing again, and we'll certainly let you know. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Okay, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Moving on to county staff items number 15. The board to consider approval of the Florida Firefighter Assistance Grant as agenda by Dan Castle, Fire Chief.
This is so good. Can we talk about it? Well, this is the same grant that we have been awarded year after year, and it is 100% funded with no match required. The grant award is approximately $40,000, and it will be used to replace the aging SCBA equipment for the fire department.
I wish we could find more for them.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County Attorney items number 16. The County Attorney to discuss draft solid waste assessment resolution of intent. Is there a motion to read the resolution by title only?
Motion. Second.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
A resolution of Taylor County, Florida, electing to use the uniform method of collecting non-ad valorem special assessments levied within the unincorporated area of Taylor County, Florida, stating a need for such levy, providing for the mailing of this resolution, and providing an effective date. You know, y'all passed a resolution before. It's the same one in anticipation of working on non-ad valorem special assessments. It's it's the exact same one we did last year. And then we decided not to do it, but we may decide to do it this year, who knows?
And this will need to be advertised for full. So this is just to ask for board approval to advertise, schedule a public hearing, and then I believe the December board meeting would be when the board would consider this resolution.
Correct.
Okay, since we discussed this last meeting, or whenever it was, I've had several calls from people in the community, and I have just come to the conclusion that I will not support this. I think that I agree with the people that have called me. It's just flat out not fair. If there is some way that we can charge the full fee to people who are living in campers and sheds and whatever else, because I do agree that they use just as much of the garbage service as the rest of us, but for the hunting camps, and I've heard from a number of people that I know that those hunting camps sit there for months and they're not generating any garbage. So I just cannot go along with charging $140 for everybody across the board. Again, I'd like to figure out a system that we can, that whoever's living full time in these places, that they would be charged. I think that would be more fair, but I'll open up the for discussion from the board.
Maybe you could come up with a plan where you could distinguish between them. I mean, there really no, besides their light bill, would be the only way you could tell, you know, when they're there, their bill would go from just the minimum fee up, you know, you could tell how many months, you know. That's the only way you could really distinguish when they were there and when they weren't.
But who's going to do that?
I mean, I don't know, but the insurance companies in Leon County looks at your light bill to see if you're there or not in a place. And if you're not there for 6 months out of the year, your bill just sits there on $100 a month and never goes up. They want to go up on non-residential, not inhabited dwelling, so they want to go up on the insurance. I've had that happen in Leon County. So there's ways to do it, but I mean, I'd be the only way I'd know it, you know.
It's just a question of who's going to do that.
Well, I mean, who knows? I don't know. But now, there's no other way to know, because I know people who go to them can't get around. I know people that only go around 2 months out of the year, you know.
Right. Well, I don't think that our staff has the time and means to take all that task.
We don't need no more fast, so we
have to figure out if that's the way that we're going to go. Anybody else?
If we pass this, nothing is before us. You know, the same one we looked at. Does that all have to mean that we're going to expend county funds to do so?
Well, what we're asking you to do is to tell us to go ahead and advertise for this to pass this or this resolution. We're not passing the resolution today. It's just to advertise. We went ahead and read it because that's the way we do things.
Yeah, if I can interject, if you don't mind. The reason I went ahead and said what I said is hopefully if the board agrees, then we don't have to spend this advertising money to go any further. I realize we're not voting on it today, but I was just hoping, or if the board goes that way, we don't spend this advertising dollars. It seems like a waste if we don't intend to do it.
I agree. Well, let me ask you this. Looks like we talked about one time having a survey done or something of that nature to see whether it was feasible to do it. And that can kind
of got in some sort of trouble, didn't he?
Well, that was years and years ago, and again, I think you'd asked me the same question before, Mr. Demps, and what they did was they ended up in a lawsuit because they did not make sure that it was conducive to the property and that it was equally distributed amongst the people, and that's where the thing came in. So that's why you do a study to determine, yeah, to determine whether you can, whether that's feasible and whether it's done correctly. And that's what we talked about when we went down to Dixie County.
Yes.
You know, like 6 months ago, yeah, on this. These are the same questions that were raised last time when y'all authorized us to do the resolution. Ms. LaWanda and myself. And I think what Chairperson Peel is saying is that if you don't have the intention of raising the special assessments, then don't advertise. If you do have an intention that you're going to do it, then go ahead and advertise. But remember, if you advertise the resolution, doesn't mean that when we get down the road that you're going to have to pass special assessment ordinance. Does that make sense?
So the study, wouldn't the study actually answer Pam's question on if it was somebody living there full time or part time?
I've never heard of that with regard to that kind of study. What they're doing is that study is just to make sure, like I said when I was answering Commissioner Dempsey's question, you know, does it benefit everybody equally and is it equally distributed, for lack of a better term, amongst the various constituents that own the property that are paying the special assessment?
Well, also the full-time owners can argue in opposition that if you don't go through with the study, it's not a fair act.
Well,
It could be argued.
The reason that you do have it's a protection. You just don't pass these non-advisory special assessments without knowing what the ramifications are. I think that's what the case law says. We've had these special assessments for years now.
But look, we would pay thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for the survey, which would not identify who's living in a camper full time and who's just there during hunting season.
That's a really good question, and I don't think it would, but we could certainly, before you authorize somebody to do a survey, you could ask that question of the survey, the prospective surveyor. I don't think they would, but that's just not thinking off the top of my head. Because how are they going to do it anyway? That would take a lot of legwork, and then, to interview owners of property. Well, sure, I go down there all the time. Well, no, you don't, or yes, you do, or whatever. Are y'all following that?
They have to offer proofs, and then they got to substantiate that whoever's doing the survey.
When it comes time to do that study, we need to get an answer from them that's doing the study, what they're actually going to base their study on, and what kind of criteria they're going to look for, and all kinds of things.
Before you give them any money.
And again, I thought it was a budget shortfall we were having in that department that we're losing so much money. Am I right? I didn't hear that.
That's an answer for y'all.
Were we losing that much money that it's because we're not charging enough?
We know that because it hasn't been identified. And we were just talking about a
day. Well, I think the whole department is losing that money, right? $140 all the year for those that rent it in. And that's the residents, and then the state could put $35, $40 a year.
And you started at $140.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's about $46, $67, right? For the hunt camps and RVs. So yes, the past several years we've had a budget shortfall that we've been able to pull from reserves. A year ago, or around a year ago, we did start using our 1 cent sales tax money to pay for the lease vehicles for that department and for public works because of shortfalls, not building enough capital funds to be able to purchase. And again, we do have a resolution in place. There is another mechanism to increase revenue for that department, but that's strictly the will of the board and obviously your decision.
The fact is we're going in the hole this year on the tipping fees because of the garbage. I mean, it's a known fact. I mean, every year we're going in the hole and have to dig deeper to get the money to pay for. And the ones that's putting the trash in the dumpsters is the one they pay for one way or another, you know. If it's having to charge them individually when they bring their trailer load of stuff up there or whatever, we need to get it balanced out where we're not going in the hole on the garbage. I mean, one way or the other, this is a good start, you know.
Normally, I think when a business is losing money, then to stay in business, they have to figure out how we're going to make up that shortfall. And it's the same scenario with us. We are a business, and we have a shortfall, and we have to figure out how we're going to make up that shortfall. The thing is, we have to make sure that how we make it up is fair and equitable. And I don't disagree that if we're losing money in a department, to figure out why are we losing money, and then how do we fix it. So that's what's before us, and it's been for us for how long? How long have we been?
3 or 4 years, anyway.
Huh?
At least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, so we haven't really, you know, it used to be, this is exactly why we're losing money, and this is what we need to do, and this is fair and equitable to everybody. But there's been a reluctance on our part to increase fees. Nobody wanted to go up from 140 to 154 that's allowed without having to do anything.
And that's only what, $1.25 a month?
Yeah, so that idea was not taken further. It was mixed. And then we talked several times about them hunting camps, thinking, well, just charge everybody the same thing and make up the difference there. And we can't do that. We can't be unfair to so.
But here's the thing. I could pay my $140, and I could have 3 chicken houses out there that are out of date. I didn't want to use them anymore. I could carry on all 3 of those chicken houses and carry them to that dump down here at Falcon Cemetery, one trailer load at a time for $140. And it would cost the county thousands of dollars at the tipping fee when it got to the landfill.
Right. If that's the problem, then we need to identify that and how we're going to fix it. We've talked over and over how we're going to address people that take their throw-down chicken houses or whatever else, and we've discussed it. But we've been unable to come up with a solution.
Commissioner Page? I don't think the shortfall is caused your mother, the hunting camps.
No, I don't get it. I'm not calling me.
No, that's not called.
You're right.
So the reason we got a shortfall, in my opinion, is because we allow folks like me, and, you know, put anything you want to in that dumpster. And then when it gets green, when you've got to put a tipping thing on it, and the 3 chicken houses is a good example. And all that makes that fair, because I won't be here making decisions, is to put some sort of a system in place where you either enter the cube guards or better still, a scale. I don't have to set the scale to do more of that. But you can solve the problem by charging people for the CD they bring in. And if my understanding that when the solid waste was put together, that was designed, or anime say this, just for household garbage. But we need somewhere for people to take C and D, because if you don't care for the landfill, skull eyes and woods, and then dead somewhere. So, I'm not in favor of this authorizing the advertising for this thing. It's gonna kill snake, you kill it, you get it in the head. Stop it. That's all I'm going to say.
And I agree with what you just said. Now, if I pass by in Lamont, and you go into the Osceola area, just as you turn there, and going to Osceola, there's a little roll-on stop there. And it's nobody is there. They've just got small canisters out there. As I go to Madison, when you get just into Madison County, you do have a little house there, I guess, for an attendant that's there, but what I see are the little small canisters that are above ground, and I don't, it doesn't appear to me that they would be collecting C and D just from what I've seen. So what did those people do in Jefferson County and Madison County?
They rent a dumpster from a contractor. He delivered it on site. They tear down the chicken house and put it in that dumpster or a house trailer. And then they haul it, they come pick it up and haul it, and they charge the people hundreds of dollars to do that.
Exactly what they did.
That's exactly what happened in other counties.
Now, what about when you, a little storm comes through like we have, and you've got two or three trailer loads of limbs, maybe you've got a little dog
retreat
or something that falls over.
And they carry them to the landfill up there.
So they carry their yard trash.
If it's got one Coke can in the yard trash, it winds up in Greenville. And you're charged
full rate, not the C&D rate.
Right. I tell you what we done. We even boy out there when we had those limbs and trees pulled down by the storm. We used to have a boy out there. He came up and cleaned up and get it down there and bring it in some peace. Mm-hmm. We pulled it out then and we rented a trailer, rented a dumpster box. And they came and moved that box three times. We had to pay for what they done.
It's happening that way and everywhere. We're the only ones in this whole area right here. It's just letting everybody carry everything that they want to right up there. When you go to the tire store and buy a tire and they look at your old tire, they ask you, do you want to carry the tire with you or do you want to pay $3 for the clothes thing? Yeah. You know, and then I get a tire salesman throwing a trailer load of tires over the fence at the dump because he done got $3 for disposing them tires, but the county ends up having a trailer load of tires thrown over the fence. You know, that's the kind of thing taking place. The dumpster ends up full of tires. So the dumpster's sitting out there by the fence, and they just park it, pull up there, and then I got out and explained to them that wasn't the program. You know, they got the tires back on the trailer and left. But they had a whole trailer load they was unloading at the dumpster.
And he didn't make $3 piece on
them. And it was about 7 o'clock, right at dusk hour, and they were unloading a great load of tires. You know, that's in the history. But now, when you pay $3 at the tire store, we get the tires paid up. Like Mr. Malcolm said, why couldn't somebody draw a tire, or why couldn't they pay $1 to put it in that bin and $3 to put it in that bin? I mean, we take them for nothing, and then we have them disposed of. And it's costing all the taxpayers of Taylor County paying $140. I've had a lot of taxpayers claiming $140 tell me they didn't want to go up on $140. They wanted everybody else to be even with
them. I've been the same. Commissioner Rooney, I think that the tire thing is partially grant funding.
It is.
So we probably couldn't get by with turning it up with all our tires. So we can get that money to dispose of these things in our dumpster.
And remember, if you'll remember, if I may, we do not collect any monies at our roll-off sites. That was stopped years ago because of a concern brought up by the auditor. So we stopped collecting fees at that time.
Leon County collects fees. I got a brother in Tallahassee. And if he's got something he needs to dispose of, if he takes it to the Leon County roll-off site, he's got to pay it.
There's a way around that, not even having to deal with the money at the site. Go right over here to the clerk's office or anywhere and buy a book of tickets for your disposal. And then when you get to the dump site, you just, you know, if you've got a trailer load, a 6x8 trailer load of limbs, you give them the ticket and they let you dump it. And you're going to bought the ticket, in other words. You're going to pay for it.
Well,
that happens in some places. You just take your ticket, there are your books.
And then there's nobody going to change hands.
Nobody's got to have them in a cage at the roll-off site.
Well, and that sounds like a good idea in some ways, but then you've got the folks that seldom use it for things other than household garbage. So I don't know how many people will want to go down and buy a book of tickets knowing that they seldom go there. And then, like a lot of people, maybe on the weekend, they decide, oh, I've got this I need to take down there, so where are they going to get a ticket then?
Or they could do it just like they do the boomerang fee. They could do it online on their phone. You could buy it right through the tax collector's office. You can buy it. If you go down there to the off-level boomerang and you don't have a $20 ticket, you can buy it on your cell phone to his office over there, and then if you get charged for not having it, we got to go show them where you didn't bought it. It's on record. I mean, there's ways to handle this garbage business. It's happening in a lot of other places, and they're not going in the hole because they're charging. I mean, we've got to get this. We've talked it for years. We've got to get a handle on this C&D. And these tires and this metal. And metal is the only thing that I've heard that the county does not lose money on, and that metal dumpster. They do sell that metal, and they don't lose money on the metal. But the rest of it, they go in the hole. We've just got to work out some kind of game plan to get this thing going.
If you were to keep the fees for the hunting camp at normal, keep your primary residence fees at normal, and if you had a central location with a scale for C&D. So if I've got construction, let's give a hypothetical, I have construction debris at my home. I've got to drive 20 miles to the courthouse, get a ticket, drive back to the house, load the trailer, and then go to a dump. See, the issue is that you're allowing dumping of C&D at all the satellites. That needs to be centrally located. As the clerk, your former clerk, has stated that it was set up for, you know, just household refuge. It wasn't set up for construction debris. But you're seeing an influx in the construction debris side more so than you are on the regular refuge. So to alleviate the issue, keep the hunting camps at normal fee, whatever it is now. You keep the primary residence fee normal as it is now, and you create a central location to put your C&D, put a scale. It's a pay-to-play system. Many counties are doing that. If we don't do a study, then primary residents could argue the fact that they're not getting a fair deal, that they're paying too much. So if you have a study, and the conclusion of the study is going to come out with this, that you have to have a centralized location for the C&D. This is the only place in the world that I know of that I can go to a satellite and dump my household record and your C&D. They're central locations.
The only thing with that, and I agree that we should have locations to do that with skills, but I'm not sure about one central location.
So if you have five districts, you have five locations. If you have two districts, you have two locations.
Okay, and then you've got to find the funding for the skills and all, and maybe it'll pay for itself, but you've got to have the money up front. Because in Steen Hatchie, when we were talking about this before, Oh my goodness. How many people called me and said, listen, I'm a contractor or this, that, and the other, and you think I'm gonna haul this stuff up to Perry?
It's understandable. So you would have, you know, if you have one district, you have one central location. How many districts do you have? We have five. So it would be five different locations. This is a big county. So you can't just have one. You're going to have a central location in each district.
And what's the cost of scales? Where would this capital come from?
$100,000 scale.
Maybe more than that.
You're talking over $500,000 just for the scales, not.
So how much money is being spent on pitching fees for construction, C&D, each year?
So
okay. So you're going to have to make an investment to make money down the line. You have to make an initial investment. You're not going to make any money if you don't spend any more.
Well, you wouldn't charge about a cubic yard when we went to buy a scale.
That's right.
You know, if you got a 4x8 trailer and you're 4 feet high, you can calculate the number of yards and charge by the yard.
Well, that would probably be about the money to get a scale if that's what you decided to do, was get a scale. I mean, that would be one way to start. But, what we need to do is this needs further discussion when we agenda. This is a specific item discussed. We spent a lot of time talking about saying it's important, but I think that we need more time than what we have today to delve back in this situation. So back to this resolution. How does the board feel? I've already stated where I'm at. I don't want to spend the money to advertise because it sounds like we're talking to everybody else, but nobody wants to go.
How much money are we talking about advertising? I mean, how much is that going to cost?
Well, if you're not going to pass it, why advertise? Well, if it's $10 or $500?
Well, we're just going to kick the can again and let the sun go.
I didn't say that. What I was saying, that this resolution, that this was so that we could increase the hunting camps and all these 140, that's something that I've heard from five people today. I don't think the first person said, yes, I want to do that. So I don't see how that's kicking the can further down the road. What you're talking about is C&D.
I'm talking about the limb, pine tree. If you call Peter Faye and he comes to your house to a dead pine in your yard down, it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars, or any other contractor that cuts trees down. But he's going to cut it down, he's going to take all the limbs and all the pieces and haul them away from there, and you'll leave them up to the stump and ground, and you got to pay $100 to get the stump ground, you know. I mean, contractors make a living doing that, and I don't blame them. That's a good business for them. There's a lot of contractors around here that kind of make a living off of that kind of stuff. But if I cut a vine down in my yard this afternoon and it would cost me hundreds of dollars for Peter to come cut it down, I can cut it all up, load it on my trailer and carry it right down there to the Dawson Cemetery site. And I can throw it in that dumpster one piece at a time. Nobody says a question, ask no questions. You just, as long as you got it cut up 4 pieces and you take your time, throw it over in that dumpster. It's history. And then when it gets to the landfill, every taxpayer in Taylor County has got to pay a little bit of that tipping fee. You, all of us. I mean, it's just, we got to get a hand on it some kind of way. I'm not just saying we got to do it through charging hunt camp. We just got to get a hand on it. And if we don't start somewhere, we're not going to, we just keep talking.
And I agree with you, but for purposes of today, what we have on the agenda is about the solid waste assessment resolution. So that's what we need to decide on right now. Or do we want to pass this resolution or not? And what you're talking about needs to be agenda.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying is, if we pass this resolution, it don't mean we're going to start hunting camp. We're not passing it, so for sure we're going to get into our company.
We
should get the process started, right?
The only thing you're doing today is to determine, like Ms. Steele said is, are you going to advertise this resolution? You have to advertise it for 4 weeks, and then you determine after that, you have a hearing on it, you know, and you pass it.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with dark trash and C and D.
No, it doesn't.
So why would we spend that money to advertise for this?
But you're talking about spending the money for advertising 4 weeks, is what you're saying? How much for 4 weeks advertising stuff good?
Probably.
$100. Yeah, $300 or $400 if I had to guess, depending on how big the ad is and where it's placed.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
This bar is going to change significantly in a few weeks. Do we still have 4 weeks after the new board gets here?
Not to meet the January
deadline. Not to meet the January deadline.
Right. Although, do we not have until March if we obtain permission from the tax collector and the property appraiser? Mr. Conrad?
We'll look at the advertisement, the notice that we prepared.
I find it hard to believe that a new commission would come in and all of a sudden want to change the church. I don't think it's $140, but they might be there very long after that.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Conrad, I have a copy of a letter from neighbors Gidlin and Nickerson, and it reads, if I could, the resolution which does not obligate the county to use the method or impose a special assessment must be adopted by January 1st and sent to the Taylor County Tax Collector, the Taylor County Property Appraiser, and the Florida Department of Revenue by January 10th.
That's why we noticed that I prepared left a blank as to when the public hearing was going to be, you know, and we had to advertise it 4 times before we had the public hearing. So if you're going to do it, you need to do it now.
However, this letter goes on to read, if the county property appraiser and the county tax collector agree, adoption of the resolution can occur as late as March 1st. However, we strongly recommend that the county adopt the resolution prior to January 1st as the consent of the county property appraiser and the county tax collector is not required when the adoption occurs prior to January 1st. We ran into this 1 year with the fire assessment resolution of intent, I believe, where we did not meet the deadline.
Madam Chair, I don't hear anybody jumping up and shouting to publish this resolution, so I suggest we move on.
Okay. If I may, can you give me some direction about the study? I checked with one firm and received a price, and I was told that they would not be able to begin until after January because of everything that was happening with the CARES Act.
I don't see right now, at this very moment, right now, today, where we need to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a study.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't know exactly what it entails, if it entails the things that we've asked. And so, until, in my opinion, until we can have an agenda item and talk about anything, I don't think we need a study. We know what we need to do in terms of what Commissioner Moody said with C and D, with the yard trash. I don't think you have to have a study to take care of that.
So we get to the contract, if we get by charging without having a study on the C and D and stuff like that, we wouldn't have to have a study on none of that, would we?
Because it wouldn't be a special assessment. You'd just be charging by the person bringing it.
Right.
One way, you got to determine how you're going to do that. I understand that. That's if the problem that you need to be able to determine, but no, this is just, all this is with regard to special assessment.
Right.
So yeah, the answer to your question is yes, sir. You know, if you have a policy or an ordinance with regard to saying that I'm bringing C and D there and I need to pay it, how are you going to do it, how it's going to be paid, that sort of thing.
Right. Okay. Right. that clears up the picture for me. I'm fine with not spending any money on the study or advertising either way, but I want us to get our ducks in a row, to get this under control and get the revenue coming in to cover what we're having to pay the ticket paid on. And I don't want to kick it number one down the road. I want to go ahead and get it on the agenda and get our ducks in a row and get this thing cracked out, or we won't be going in the hole.
And I think to be fair to the, we got two new commissioners coming in real soon. Even if this current board, we've only got, what, two more meetings with the current board?
One more
meeting. I just think this should be, I think that we should kick the can down just long enough to get the two commissioners in and give them time to know what's going on or what's not going on in terms of this, so that they can be part of the process.
That'd be fine.
So you recommend that the table decide?
That's what she said.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, no, I'm not on the item that we're discussing right here, this resolution. I'm recommending we do not pass this resolution. And I'm only saying it's in response to him wanting to get something done, that we wait until we get our two new commissioners, because I find it hard to believe in one meeting that we could meet and solve all this in one meeting. Just from past experience, a lot goes into it, but I think we can get started with the new board. That's what I'm saying. Just putting it down.
Everywhere I've been, you pay for what you get. If you care if it's done, pay for it. You know, you pay one of the things for household government, and if you got C&D, land, and all that other stuff, you pay for it. You set on a house, you bring a contract, then you pay for it. I mean, everybody I've ever known, you pay for what you need.
Are you okay with discussing this with the new
board? Yes, okay.
Okay, that's okay with this board.
Yeah, and another thing. That's fine. One more month, I'm going to be here. No big deal.
And we're not going
to. The ones that's going to be here after that month, I sure want us to follow through with this thing and get this ball rolling and get this under control.
I do agree. We don't need to be losing money. And we're the only... If we're the only county in this area that's losing money because we're the only county doing allowing this, we need to stop. So,
It'll be fair for everybody if we do it that way, because for instance, if you're at a hunting camp and you have a tree that died there, or an old fence to tear down, or an old dog pen to tear down, when you carry it to that hunting camp, you'd pay your fee
to
dispose of that stuff. So that would be fair for everybody.
Right.
And we could forget the hunt camp, or anybody comes up over a trailer load of stuff after the first year or whatever, they could pay their amount.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
And I agree with what you said earlier. It's not the hunt camp that's causing us to have this deficit, I don't think. I think it's, like you said, Commissioner Lee, I think it's what we're allowing to be put there, and then we have to pay for it when it gets to Greenville. Okay. Moving on. County Administrator Items Number 17. The board further discussed Yates Creek lease extension as amended by County Administrator. You want to talk about it or something? You want to talk?
It doesn't matter. Just in your packet, I included a counteroffer for the lease for public use of Yates Creek. Just to give you a synopsis, the counteroffer is a cost of $500 per month. It includes payment on all real estate taxes, maintenance of road, and attorney fees. Just in a nutshell.
That was their quote.
Yes, sir. We offered $250 a month, and they countered with, they're asking for $500 a month.
$500 a month plus? Was that so?
The real estate taxes and the attorney fees.
Is that right? How long you use it, or?
I believe that the terms of the counter are for a new lease for a 10-year term, beginning approximately January 1, 2021. It is terminable by either with 3 months written notice. County pays all rent, use taxes that are applicable. County pays owner legal costs associated with lease agreement, negotiation, and preparation. Legal costs to date are $2,395. Anticipated to total $3,500 if lease negotiation, preparation, et cetera, are carried through execution of new lease. Starting immediately, the county would pay 2020 ad valorem taxes only. Then beginning January 1st, 2021, rent is $500 per month. It is assignable by the leasor, not by the leasee. County to pay all real estate taxes for term of lease. County to maintain road. Owner may continue to list the property for sale, and county does not have right of first refusal. Lease terminates upon sale. County to be notified if property goes under contract. The leased area will include the uplands, and I think I included a map in your packet.
Yeah. I think we need to counter that and have a right for refusal.
Well, the way that I interpreted this was that we had basically four options before us. Mm-hmm. We had four options. To accept the counter offer from them, and she just explained what it was, $500 a month, pay property taxes, legal fees, and maintain the road, simply put. The other option was to reject that counter offer. The third option was the county offered to purchase at $475,000. The market value is listed at $269,000, the assessed value at $57,990. The fourth option would be to continue to negotiate terms of the lease. So, for me, I'm not willing to pay, to agree to pay $500 a month. I'd either want to negotiate the terms of the lease, will probably be my first option, but then if the purchase at $475, the assessed value, the market value is only $269. I don't think that the county should be buying property that's and paying more for property than what it's worth.
Whatever. I don't think it's worth $269.
I would not be in favor of that option because I don't think that we should be buying property at an overrated price. So the only thing for me would be to continue to negotiate the terms of the lease. If we can't come to some conclusion that's agreeable by both of us, then let them have it.
Okay.
Because it only takes smaller kayaks in any way, so it's not that valuable in terms of really taking any of the load off of Keaton Beach or Steen Hatchie. It's just for a few people that have smaller vessels.
Well, the issue I have with it as well is the county does not have the right of first refusal. Leased area must include upland, and county is responsible for any required surveys. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that. We don't have first refusal.
I don't recommend that.
No, at all.
You know, and they can terminate any time, you know. I mean,
so
what kind of lease is that?
Yeah. So we can build them a road and conduct a survey, and then they terminate it. So no, we need to continue to negotiate.
You know, you've got a few people that would obviously be upset if we just let the lease expire, but it's not too far down the road to our public boat ramp. You're not talking that much for just a few short miles, so I'm not willing to negotiate.
You're not willing to negotiate?
As far as I'm concerned, unless they can meet what we've offered, then we let it go.
It's time to let it go then. Okay. I feel like.
Let it go. I'm okay with that too.
That ain't no different, John, with
I agree with you. Well, I don't like the wording. I don't like the wording of it at all.
Okay.
So, we let it go. Make that motion, let it go.
Maybe they can find a buyer or somebody else that would meet their, what they need.
One of the things that, and I'm not telling you to do this, one of the things that y'all do need to do, if you inform them that you're going to let it go, with thanks for the many years that they allowed y'all to use it for almost an $100, because that was really something that was very magnanimous by the owners. If you want to tell.
We appreciate that. We maintained the road for and paid the taxes, but still, it was very generous of them to let the public use it. But you know, sometimes things come to an end, don't they?
They do, yeah. And I hope the buyer says.
Absolutely.
And I put that in here.
Well, there's three I've heard from so far. Me and Commissioner Murphy Moody, it says let it expire. Commissioner Page and Commissioner.
I don't have no feeling about it. I'm with that, with the group. Hey, let it expire. Tell them we appreciate it and,
yeah.
You know.
Send a nice letter.
I don't have any strong feelings. I don't think for those few people that put in a smaller vote there. Not be able to do that, but are we in the business of making all our decisions based on, you know, low rents? This is a low rent county. We need more, but not, maybe not that one.
Not that one. Okay.
So I'm not going to, you know, I'll take it anyway.
Is there a motion to let this lease expire?
I'll make that motion.
A motion by Commissioner Murphy. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 17A. But let's do draft a nice letter to them and let all those sign it.
And to clarify, I believe that the lease is extended through maybe the end of November. Is that the point that you wish, you want the amended lease to expire?
Yeah, whenever it expires. And we need to make sure that there's a notice, public notice. 17A. The board to consider new leasing agreement with leasing 2 as a gender advised in county administrator. You want to go into these three options?
Yes. If you'll recall, last September, I believe, we entered into a lease agreement with leasing 2. This was made possible by Capital Truck Incorporated out of Tallahassee. And they presented an agreement to us that at the end of the 13.5 month term, that they would purchase the trucks back and replace these with new trucks, at which time we would enter into a new lease purchase agreement with leasing 2. Unfortunately, sometime over the summer, I'm assuming Capital Truck Incorporated filed for bankruptcy. The county attorney and I have researched our lease purchase agreement that we have in place with them. And unfortunately, per the terms of our purchase agreement, our payments would go up substantially. With the payment due in November, our current lease agreement goes for the roll-off trucks, goes from $36,000 for two trucks to $90,000. That's an interest rate of 3.60%. The dump trucks, the payment goes from $30,000 to $77,451, which we have not budgeted, obviously. Again, that interest rate is 3.60%. So after I discussed the situation with the county attorney and I spoke with other counties who are in the same situation that we are, we do have several options as far as these trucks. The first option is we can continue the present lease. It's a 5-year term with 4 payments remaining at the prices I just gave you. The second option is to enter into a new lease agreement with our payments due in December. The dump truck payments would be $62,644 for 5 years or $54,403 for 6 years at 2.7% interest. The roll-off trucks are $53,532.23 for 5 years or $46,490.40 for 6 years at 2.7% interest. The third option is to pay off the vehicles. The payoff as of October 7th for the dump trucks was $299,792. The roll-off trucks are $350,799.
Well, obviously, we don't want to buy the trucks. If you look at the new lease agreement for the roll-off trucks, the five-year term is say $53,500. For the 6-year term, it's $47,000. So you're looking at the difference between $47,000 and $54,000. And then for the dump trucks, the 5 years would be $63,000.
Yes.
as opposed to $54,000 for a 6-year term. Not knowing what next year's going to look like, that the 6-year term would be the least amount of expenditure. I know you add the interest and add another year, but I don't know. Not knowing what is y'all's recommendation.
Oh, this is a lease purchase, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to make that perfectly clear. If you pay all the lease, and at the end of the lease,
the truck goes back to the company.
No, the truck. Lease purchase.
Okay, lease purchase.
One of the things that you need to understand too is that it's 2.75, not 2.7.
Thank you.
Every little bit counts, right? One.
That's a good rate.
That's a decent rate.
They did agree that she lowered the interest rate.
But you're getting that lower. I think that Wanda told me on the telephone yesterday or before that other counties are in the same situation, but some of them worse because there are more trucks than we have, and they're just going to go ahead and make their payment and wait and see what happens.
Which we could do as well. I mean, if we make a payment in December and then come up with a different option as far as selling the trucks or entering into another type of leasing program, we would have that option to do that.
Yeah, and of course you don't know whether the interest rate would go up or would go down.
Right.
We don't know, what's going to happen with regard to the economy. And so it's kind of, you've got to make a decision, and whatever decision's made, it can be wrong or it can be right. I personally think that the most important thing is to be able to, of course, balance your budget, because you got to do that. So you got to think about that when in fact you're determining what the payment should be.
This is what what's not calculated. If you took the new lease payments and at the end of 5 years or 6 years, what's that total sum?
You're going to end up making the same amount of payment. Commissioner Page helped us a little bit here, but if you look at this mathematically, they're not giving you a break when they go with the interest rate down, because the first, the way you continue it is a shorter time. You see what I'm saying? So you're going to end up paying the same amount.
You just have a little bit less annual payment.
Right.
But, and for, in terms of budgetary concerns.
And then, of course, the other thing that you got to consider is if it's a longer time, then there's more miles put on the vehicles. They're not worth as much at that particular point in time. Are they going to wear out? That sort of thing. I asked Wanda to ask Hank, you know, are these, you know, we've only had them for what? Less than a year, right? And then he said they're in really good shape, taking good care of them. And that's one of the things that you got to make sure that you do if your plan is to purchase them at the end of the lease. And what's the payout at the end of the lease?
Yeah.
You know, what is that?
Well, I don't know that they projected out.
They didn't project that to us.
I know what the payoff is now. And these, we did piggyback off of, I believe, a Leon County RFP, as far as the, if I'm not mistaken, as far as the purchase price of the vehicles. So I believe that the purchase price is something that was procured through Leon County.
We don't have a state contract on big time, I mean, there's not a state.
We piggyback off Leon County. So it's, which is allowable. But as far, I don't know if we have a, I really don't know if we have a state contract. And another thing you have to take into consideration, obviously we need these trucks, we use the trucks.
Yeah.
But if we were to decide to sell the trucks, which may happen, I'm trying to communicate with other counties to see how they are handling this, and it evolves. It changes a lot. But if we were to sell the trucks in order to get into another leasing program, which you may or may not wish to do at this point, that price can be variable as well. So that if we do that, the reorder time is about 6 months to obtain the vehicle. So even if we wanted to say, okay, we're done with this and we want to auction the trucks and then to auction or sell, we still need replacement vehicles for these.
Of course, sir.
Mm-hmm. Also, we don't know what the bankruptcy court is going to do.
That's true, too.
That's the other part. I think what Lawana told me that, was it Suwannee County, decided that they were just going to pay their lease payment and wait and see what happens.
That's, I believe Suwannee County is doing that, and when I spoke with Madison County, their payment is not due for several months, I believe, but that was, I think, their tentative plan to give us another year if something changes.
Yeah.
Now, once you file for bankruptcy, I don't know the law, but there are plans that the bankruptcy lawyer, judge, admits so that the company can get out of bankruptcy.
Right. But see, the problem with this one is it's not, you know, it's one company that sold you this, lack of a better term, bill of goods. They're the ones going bankrupt. The other company is taking over. Or, you know, the one that the actual lease is with, correct?
So Leasing 2 is a financing company.
Right.
And then Capital Truck acted as a broker.
Yeah, yeah.
For this, and gave us a letter promising that they would buy the trucks back. They, and I believe the representative told every one of you, mm-hmm. you'll never get to that second payment because we're going to buy the truck back. So the way the lease purchase was structured is the first year was basically paying the interest and 10% of the purchase. So for each truck, it was between $15,000 and $17,000. And what was so appealing to us is that was what we budgeted every year, and that was our plan. Never, and I'm sure every other county, I think there are five counties who are affected by this. The counties that I've spoken to, that was their plan.
Well, one thing that, and I'll tell my clients all of this, don't beat yourself up because of this, because what happened was staff questioned all the other counties that had been doing this for years, mm-hmm. and they were all happy as right. they could be.
Yeah,
and I remember that specifically.
Yes.
You know, so somebody come back and criticize this, you know, the board for doing it. That's money more than quarterbacking, really. Right. You know, if you play the game on Saturday, so forth. So, being very cautious is so why? When's our payment due?
Our current payment is due November 15th, which is for the large amounts. If we pursue refinancing of this agreement, our payments would be due in December. So if we choose to refinance with leasing two, we would get a lower interest rate, payments would be due in December. And you would simply have to choose if you want to go with option one or option two. Which would be 6 years or 7 years. I don't know that I would stretch it out another 7 years if we could enter into a 6-year agreement. That might be some, I think I would recommend that if we can. Of course, we'll have to restructure our capital improvement plan, but it's not a substantial amount of money versus the payment, the large payment in November or purchasing the trucks outright.
No, is 2.75% guaranteed and locked throughout the duration of the contract?
It would be, yes. That would be in the terms of the contract.
Mm-hmm. You said 6 years or 7 years. I thought after 5 years, I mean, five and six.
It's an additional 5 and 6, which puts the lease term at 6 years or 7 years. We've already gone through our first year.
Okay.
So it would be an additional 5 or 6 years.
So let me see if I understand correctly. We entered into the new lease with this leasing to outfit. Mm-hmm. Then we, at the end of 5 or 6 years, whichever one it is, we would still have the option to buy the trucks. Period.
There are trucks.
That would be ours then. Mm-hmm. And then at that point in time, we either have to find another leasing company or figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, after 5 years or whatever, how many years, you own the truck. You own the truck.
Okay.
Then you want to continue to use it, hopefully, maybe it won't be worn out at that time. I wouldn't think it would be worn out, would it?
That'd be good for over that period of time.
And past that time, right?
Right.
You take care of them.
Those trucks like that, 500,000 miles is nothing.
You should be able to get about 15 years, 12 to 15 years.
That's right.
But our sweetheart deal is gone. Before we get
a new truck here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone.
Just the maintenance of the tires, the only thing that'll, you know, have to be kept up. It'll be good to go for a long time if we break things like that.
I got one question. The payoff, say on the dump trucks, is $300,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right at. Is that firm or is that negotiable?
Well, if you recall, we piggybacked off the Oncani, so I'm assuming that's firm as far as the purchase price, but I can certainly ask.
And we got until November the 15th, right? Did you say that's when the payment is due?
That's when the payment is due unless the board chooses to refinance.
Well, they'll be agreeable to refinance up to November the 15th, would they? I mean, it'd be crazy not to.
Oh, I don't think so. The way they explained it to me is they need an answer as soon as possible.
Well, of course they do. Let me ask this question. Hypothetically. Y'all struck the water to call and say, you know, what would you sell us those dump trucks? I'm not talking about the roll-offs, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you sell us those for tomorrow? Would y'all be interested in paying cash for those trucks?
Those two dump trucks?
Yeah. For less than $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to be business.
Oh, you couldn't borrow money that cheap, couldn't you? Borrow
money? We have money in our budget sales tax reserve. She said, if the board wished to pay off the trucks, you could. I just don't know if you want to, spend that kind of money, out of our reserves.
Sure, that's the best negotiator that I know.
Let's see if the negotiation process for the base price for the mall, let's see if we can get that price lower.
So why didn't I call?
Yeah, because, you know, you can negotiate a really good deal.
Right.
And we're gonna, they're gonna be our truck anyway, why not do that?
Now, I'm only talking, about the dump trucks because I, you know, the roll-off, that's a little bit more money, you see.
But what we're gonna do, what we're gonna do about that then?
Well, you wanna buy those too, you know?
It would make sense to buy.
Buy all four of them? Because they're four trucks and they're looking at, they're looking at $650 total.
So you're gonna take all of them?
Take all of them?
Yeah.
See if you can get it reduced by 20%. That's astronomical, but let's see if you, maybe after 20, you get 10 or whatever it may be. Whatever your process is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, those roll-off trucks, they get a lot of mileage.
Only one dollar around, really good, right?
Yeah, very good though. Steady running, hollering around, same thing.
But road mileage is not as bad as the, you know, loading that sand going out there on bad roads.
What you could do.
Falling hose.
What you could do is ask us to see if we could negotiate the price for the dump trucks, the roll-off trucks, and the roll-off trucks. Then, would y'all be willing to say, for instance, that we couldn't make a deal? They said no, okay? And y'all gotta make a payment before November the 15th. If we could call, you know, but my question is, would we be willing to do a special meeting if we get some kind of deal?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that.
Okay.
Well, then we on November the 2nd.
Yeah, you can do it on November the 2nd.
And again, if the board wishes to refinance, then the payment would be due in December. So that would give you a little more time.
Let's do that. That's my idea.
We'll give it a shot.
Sounds good.
If that's not, okay, so.
Let's blue book these things, so, okay?
If they are not willing to negotiate a cash price, then I need to bring an agreement back to the board at the next meeting, or I guess I'll need, contingent upon that, approval of the refinancing so we can move forward with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That'll be on November the 2nd, though.
I think they need an answer as soon as possible.
Today is the 20th.
So we can get approval contingent upon negotiating our cash price. Then you want me to bring the same question back to the board.
Negotiation would favor the buyer in this case.
Sir?
Negotiation would favor the buyer in this case.
I'm just asking what I need to bring back to the board.
Right. Okay, so I think we've agreed to try to negotiate. Mm-hmm. And if that fails, mm-hmm. then the question is, what do we want to do then? Do we want to make our payment and wait to see what the bankruptcy court does, like the other counties? Or do we want to go ahead and enter into a brand new lease? And which one would it be, the 5-term or the 6-term?
Right.
But you can make that decision on November the 2nd.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It's called brinksmanship.
Mm-hmm. Do we need a motion to ask y'all to enter into, okay, someone to make that motion?
I'll make that.
Okay, a motion by Commissioner Gibson, a second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. Item 18. The board to consider, we need to take a 5-minute break, since we already have one.
Yes, yeah.
Let's have a 5-minute break.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't have my super dinner.
That LASIK.